Chapter 16. A Longer Perspective. The shallow pond lay so still that the night sky was painted across its surface. A careful observer could make out constellations younger than several of those gathered by the water's edge. Creatures of fantastical variety were among their number, most resembling humans, but with odd stylistic choices in their appearances. Impossible physiques, brilliant hair and eye colors, flesh and clothing adornments that defied nature. All stood waiting in a silence that, if not companionable, was at least familiar to them all. Patience comes easily to the immortal demons of Vaedrus. The pond graced the center of a clearing, surrounded by elder pines tall enough to brush the clouds, when clouds were allowed in the immortal's glade. Which of them had done it, no one had asked. But while storm clouds gathered above them and swelled with rain, the skies were clear beyond the guardian pines. Heads turned in unison at a ripple in the deep ether. Such a subtle hint might have passed unnoticed elsewhere, even among the great Cadran sorcerers, the Gelkins and the Goblins, but not in present company. A sphere of ether appeared in the air above the pond. When it vanished, a gray, hulking creature hung in midair, with leathery wings spread wide. It crashed into the pond, which was only knee-deep to the creature, the mirror-like perfection of its surface ruined as steam rose around the demon.
"You did that intentionally," Iliardra spoke up. She was wearing a green gown just a shade darker than her hair.
The delicate horns that framed her face contrasted the twisted tangle that sprouted from Zizek's skull.
"You press your welcome even upon your arrival."
"It is water, nothing more. It falls from the sky when you allow it," Zizek chided.
A fog rose around him as he reached the grass around the pond.
"But there now, I can play nice."
With a wave of a clawed hand, Zizek condensed the mist into droplets and flung them back into the pond.
"What is it you wish to discuss with us that was so important?" asked an immortal named Uok, wearing golden robes.
"Why call for this gathering?"
"It seems we have someone who wants to hunt demons," Zizek replied.
He swept his gaze around the assembled immortals. 3 dozen had awaited his arrival.
"What? We'll put a stop to that.
Will mortals never learn?"
There were few things that riled the pacifists and philosophers among them, but someone seeking to end their eternity was an exception. Zizek threw back his head and laughed.
"You mean to sow discord?"
Iliardra scolded him. She had kept silent, waiting for the loudest immortals to vent their anger before speaking on their behalf.
"You must be speaking of the Icardian you met with. I do not watch your realm, but his movements are too disrupted to ignore."
"Indeed, he seeks your lover's head," Zizek replied, ignoring the rest. "I might be inclined to aid him, but for my agreement with Rashan. I want no part of that one's ire."
Zizek paused a moment, put a hand to his chin, and gazed up to the stars.
"Either of theirs, for that matter. I would prefer that they leave me and my children alone."
"Why come at all, then?"
an angry voice called from somewhere in the middle of the group.
"Why? To warn you," Zizek said. "He is trying to piece together a weakness of Rashan's, and seems intent on discovering how he obtained immortality."
"He knows about the gate?" Uok asked.
"He knows enough to discover it, I believe," Zizek replied. "He has found a journal that Rashan wrote toward the end of his mortality, and it seems our friend was incautious about his metaphors. I believe Rashan may have left the key lying in a book, obscured under piles of gibberish and bad poetry. The Icardian is a scholar at heart. He will not let the puzzle lie now that he knows it for what it is."
"We all feel the shudders in the ether whenever he uses his transferences. What was it like being near to him?"
another immortal asked.
"Is he like the peacemaker? You were still alive back then, were you not?"
Zizek curled his lip.
"No. This one is strong, but I have seen stronger sources in dragons. The Icardian is a threat to any of us, not all of us."
"Why worry, then? It seems no harm will come in letting him do as he will," Iliardra argued. "He sought you out for advice, and you withheld it?" Zizix nodded in the affirmative. I see no threat to any but Rashan, and I think we can all agree that any enmity he draws is well deserved. I have done more than my part to convict him of his crimes in the past. Let this mortal give him sport. He could do us all a favor and rid us of a true threat. Zizix, whose attention had seemed to wander, turned his fiery gaze on Iliardra once more.
I see now. It was you, wasn't it? You were the one who made sure this Akkadian got his hands on Rashan's journal.
It seemed Iliardra was going to answer his accusation, but he waved away her reply.
Do not bother denying it. I see now. You are as besotted with vengeance as he is. Beget mortals at your peril, he warned the assembly. Look what it has done to noble Iliardra, resorting to taking a mortal sorcerer as her hidden blade.
You are one to lay accusations, Iliardra shot back. I saw the assassins you sent to kill Rashan and Cadrus. Those daggers were your own work, not even a copy.
I have my agreement with Rashan, and I know its limits. I merely lent knowledge to those with a common grudge against him. Those spells I showed them, the daggers, all were in purely theoretical context. All action and motivation was by their own independent will. Besides, the penalty for slaying an immortal is death. Those daggers would have taken the wielder's source as fuel for the magic that would have killed Rashan.
I cannot abide any of this, Uok interrupted. Iliardra, what did that journal contain? What information did you place before this mortal from the other side of the gate? 2 books I left for him to be given. The first was the journal that Zizix spoke of. It was disguised as prophecy and written in the prophetic forms. I would surmise that Rashan was embarrassed by recording his private thoughts, and so did not write them plainly. The journal was the venting of his bile upon paper. I wanted Brannis Solaran's twin to understand the depths of Rashan's madness and the malice that underlay it. The other book was The Peace of Talax, which I am sure you all have read. What better deterrent to a course beyond his station than that?
You fool, Zizix thundered.
The glade drained of ether almost instantly as dozens of immortals drew in every last wisp, prepared in case Zizix became violent.
You obviously did not read that journal well enough, because the single passage he quoted to me hinted that Rashan had nearly pieced together the secret by the time he wrote it. This boy may be no Talax, but that does not mean we should have him running amok for eternity.
What harm is there, really? The young girl asked. He opposes Rashan, and you said yourself he was scholarly. I find no fault with the former and much hope in the latter.
Zizix, you yourself seemed quite the risk as a mortal, and you were given a chance to prove yourself. Why would this Akkadian be any different? Uok asked. There were murmured discussions among the other immortals, but most seemed content to keep their opinions private.
There is no evidence that he is even seeking immortality for himself, Iliardra argued. Thus far, it would seem he is only seeking a weakness in Rashan to exploit.
Someone spoke the words, good luck, just loud enough to be heard by all.
Iliardra, you were pureborn. You never felt the growing hunger of the Sorcerend, Zizix said. He knows that immortality is possible. He knows that Rashan found his way between worlds. He confided this to me as well. He found out from the other side. He will have hundreds of winters for that knowledge to gnaw at him as his body grows weak and rots around him. Even if he has no thought to pursue immortality now, the seed is there.
What does he know of Rashan's passage through the gate? Iliardra asked.
Her voice was quiet, betraying concern for the first time.
Some underling of Rashan's old twin reported on a meeting between the two of them. He figured out from a written account that it was the Vaedran twin, and not some relative whose description matched, Zizix said. You have merely given him more to poke and to prod. He seems no fool. I say we wait to see if Rashan kills him, then destroy him ourselves. We rid ourselves of one malcontent, and head off the coming of our next overlord.
Talax never ruled us. And you said yourself that Brannis's twin was no equal to him, Iliardra argued. He has heard the name enough times by now, I am sure, to read the book before acting. If Talax's tale does not dissuade him, then he will not be deterred.
Oh, yes, poor Talax, Zizek said in sing-song. Only lived 10 mortal lifetimes before going mad and destroying himself.
Zizek dropped his mocking tone.
You never were mortal, Iliardra, and it again proves a blind spot for you. He will think he can do better. Talax's madness resulted in a failure to make himself immortal. Well, Talax's source was intact but flawed, powerful as it was. This Akkadian has all the ingredients to succeed where Talax failed.
We should guard the gate, Uok suggested. What if we just let him through and destroy it? It seems a good time for a gambit we can only play once, a bronze-skinned man offered. He made it sound as if he was jesting, but many among the assembly began to nod in agreement.
Enough, Iliardra shouted. We will guard the gate, but only to prevent one of you from destroying it. It is a legacy from the gods. Most of you are too young to remember, but I am not. We are its caretakers,
Zizek snarled.
Very well. Consider yourselves warned. I will offer neither aid nor death to this Akkadian until he has settled his business with Roshan.
The demon flapped his wings, thrusting himself aloft and sending waves across the pond, before disappearing in a sphere of ether.